Title: Consequences. The Day: My World Changed, A True Story, by Gary A. Crosby, MMMCD. Chapter 10 of The Crow Murder Mysteries, www.dwcarving.com. Prologue. The United Nations Security Council established an expanded mission, known as the United Nations Assistance Mission for Rwanda, UNAMIR II, with the critical objectives of halting the ongoing massacres, safeguarding civilians, and delivering essential humanitarian aid. Major General Dallaire was appointed to lead UNAMIR II, which comprised 5,500 multinational troops. In mid-July 1994, several hundred additional troops, members of the Canadian Armed Forces, CAF, from across Canada, but primarily from Base Gagetown, New Brunswick, began their deployment to Kigali. This story recounts a pivotal incident from one of my deployments during my 35 years in the Canadian Armed Forces, when I unexpectedly stepped on a TS-50 anti-personnel mine during a high-risk mission in August 1994. This experience profoundly altered my perspective of the world, leaving an indelible mark that is difficult to fully capture in words. The day started as a typical day in country. The sun was out and we just finished off a fresh ration pack, if you could call them fresh. I carried my two jerry cans of fresh water up the steps of the stadium that would be used to support the only working bathroom at the time, as there was no running water in the camp. I sat outside, enjoying my morning coffee, feeling the fresh, damp air gradually dissipate under the relentless heat of the sun. It was clear that another scorcher was on the horizon. I reminded myself to ensure that the section received extra water today. It was going to be a long day ahead. Our mission today involved venturing to a part of the city that featured a large defensive position on a reverse slope, which is a common military tactic. I was acutely aware that this area likely contained a substantial quantity of unexploded ordnance, UXO, including explosive weapons such as bombs, bullets, shells, grenades, and mines. These remnants of conflict posed a significant risk to the local population, and I needed to approach the situation with caution and preparedness. After all, it was part of our current mission to remove as many UXOs as possible. By doing this, it would facilitate the population that escaped the horror of the genocide to return to a safe environment. Our driver and section storeman had prepared our tools and vehicle for the day's mission, with my second in command, 2IC, ensuring everything was in order for our departure. I took the time to confirm the route to and from the mission site, while also planning several alternate routes in case things went awry. Just then, our medic for the mission sat down beside me. We rotate different medics from day to day, but today's medic had accompanied us on several missions before, so no special briefings were necessary. I remember discussing the fundamental mission parameters and clearly outlining my expectations for our medic. I stressed the importance of their staying with the main body of the section, either alongside me or the second in command, to ensure their safety. I often reminded every medic who served with me during this deployment, "This mission is likely to be boring for you, and that's a good thing. If it's not, then we're not having a good day." I would say this with a smile, and we would share a chuckle. However, deep down, the weight of responsibility for the mission and the well-being of my troops was always on my mind. I often thought to myself, "I will not lose anyone today." This mantra became part of my daily routine, a checklist I reviewed each morning to reinforce my commitment to their safety. After all, EOD work was a very hazardous mission, and getting things right was mandatory. After a few minutes of reviewing local intelligence and finalizing my mission plan, it was time to give the section a quick briefing before we departed. We had been conducting this type of mission for several days, and there were no significant changes, so the briefing would be brief. I focused on reviewing the entry and exit routes, conducting radio checks, and confirming that everyone had their combat load of ammunition, explosives, and additional supplies. Once all the briefings and weapons checks were completed, we loaded up. After exiting the camp, we conducted a quick radio check, and then we were on our way to the area just southwest of Kigali City Center. The journey to the mission site would take approximately 30 minutes. Upon arrival, we would dedicate 15 minutes to organizing our Explosive Ordnance Disposal, EOD, tasks. This day began a bit differently than usual, as there was always an abundance of unexploded ordnance, UXO, in the area. I would leave the section in the capable hands of the second-in-command, who would manage the teams and equipment for the day. Meanwhile, I would head out with our interpreter, a member of the Rwanda Patriotic Army, to confirm our assignments for the morning. When we made it back to the truck, the troops were talking to several young teenagers, asking the typical questions such as, "Have you seen any UXOs in the area? And if so, where?" We found the teenagers that roamed the streets would be an excellent source of information. After all, they live here and knew everything about the area. Plus, they just love to talk about everything under the sun like many teenagers. Today, we displayed a collection of unexploded ordnance, UXOs, that were safe and free from explosives, alongside various components such as mortar fins, rocket casings, and artillery shells. One of the teenagers mentioned that he was aware of several locations where UXOs could be found. Recognizing the importance of this information, I decided it was essential to investigate further. If the teenagers knew where these UXOs were located, we needed to address the situation promptly to ensure a safer environment for them to play in. But all that said, something was bothering me. He knew where the UXOs were, but could not ID them from our selection. That was my first indication that we might not be encountering unexploded ordnance, UXOs, after all, but something entirely different. I recall instructing the young lad to show us the way. He gestured down the road about 150 meters ahead, where a path veered to the left, leading up the hill toward a cluster of buildings. As I surveyed the area, I felt reassured. There were no visible threats or obvious ambush sites. I also took comfort in knowing that if we were to come under attack, I had the section's firepower readily available nearby. We arrived at the road junction where the path intersected with the road. A small ditch lay before us, followed by a rise of about half a meter. The teenager had turned left and was already about 10 meters up the trail into the jungle when I shouted for him to stop. I turned into the path and had taken only two steps when I suddenly froze. Something felt wrong, though I couldn't quite pinpoint what it was. Instinctively, I began scanning the area for any signs of danger. After scanning a distance of about 50 to 60 meters ahead, I shifted my focus closer to me. That's when I saw it, a small blast hole in the path just 1 meter in front of me, accompanied by torn pieces of uniform scattered beside the trail. In that moment, my training as an engineer kicked in. I recalled the Soviet Union-era doctrine regarding minefields. When laying them at the beginning of a path, they would typically place one mine at each of the four cardinal points. I now had found the first one. I yelled at the teenager, "Not to move! This is a minefield!" His response was to run back down the path, right past me, and back on the road. I repeatedly told him to stop, but he just ignored me and kept on running. Once the teenager was safely on the road behind me, I began searching for the other mines. Just then, the troop commander, Captain G, asked, "What was wrong?" I replied, "I think I just stepped on a mine, but hold on, let me check this out." I cautiously turned to my left and spotted a TS-50 anti-personnel mine. I exclaimed a few choice words in disbelief. Then, glancing to my right, I noticed a second mine, just a meter away, hidden in the tall grass. Assessing the situation, I deduced that a third mine was likely positioned directly beneath my left foot. Fortunately, it hadn't detonated yet, and I felt a sense of relief wash over me. With careful deliberation, I began to shift my weight slightly and lifted my foot, moving it off to the side of the path where I could see there were no mines. As I did this, the top of the mine that was under my foot came into view. It was indeed directly under my foot. Later, we discovered that the mine had been laid during the rainy season, and now, in the dry season, the clay ground had hardened like rock. Since the mine was positioned beneath the arch of my army boot, I hadn't compressed the pressure plate, which prevented it from detonating and taking my leg with it. If I had been a 1 millimeter forward or backward, it would have fired, and my life would have been completely different. I would spend the next 40 minutes clearing the path, successfully removing 14 mines and rendering them safe to handle. It would hit me after removing the last mine just how close I came to death that day. The only thing that saved me was the dry weather, engineer training, and sheer dumb luck. Throughout the remainder of this deployment and in future missions, I often found myself reflecting on the phrase, "Trust your instincts." As our mission in Rwanda concluded a few weeks later, we packed our gear and returned home, carrying with us the invaluable experiences we gained. While there was no formal recognition, no medals or heartfelt acknowledgments for our efforts, this deployment was never about seeking accolades. Our primary purpose was to assist the people of Rwanda, and we remained steadfast in that commitment during this deployment. We accomplished our mission with dedication and pride, knowing that our contributions made a difference in the lives of the Rwandan people. This was only one day in country. There were several other days in theater that were just as challenging. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Wishing you a wonderful day ahead. Remember, your good days are made possible by those who serve.